Since World War II, Germans have meticulously built a political system that combats far-right ideas. Mark Sappenfield reports from Magdeburg, Germany, on how the Alternative for Germany Party's landslide victory Sunday in the state of Saxony-Anhalt is impelling Germans to understand what is fueling the rise of such parties within their society and across Europe. Among our other stories today, how a town in central New York, like many across the United States, is helping first-time homebuyers in a difficult housing market. Also, in northern Israel, a small city 1 mile from the border with Lebanon is trying to endure amid the uncertainty of fighting that has driven out nearly half of its residents. And in Amarillo, Texas, we learn how a Mexican-American neighborhood maintains its sense of community through the relationships that bound it for generations. It's Wednesday, September 9th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Israel said it will close the British consulate in Jerusalem. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar announced countermeasures against the UK government Tuesday, including the closure of the consulate. After Britain introduced a new package of sanctions aimed at Jewish settlements in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, Mr. Saar said the sanctions were hostile and anti-Israel. Earlier Tuesday, British Foreign Secretary Ed Miliband announced a ban on imports from Israeli settlements. Mr. Miliband also accused Israel's government of turning a blind eye to ethnic cleansing against Palestinians in parts of the West Bank that's being carried out by settler terrorists. Marco Rubio launched a 3-country tour of South American allies in Colombia Tuesday. The United States has welcomed, and in some cases endorsed, the election of a handful of conservative leaders in the region over the past year who share goals of fighting drug trafficking and narco-terrorism. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's first stop was with the recently inaugurated Colombian President Abelardo de la Espriella, who rose to power pledging to fight organized crime in the world's largest cocaine-producing nation. Mr. Rubio will next travel to Ecuador and Peru. The second Trump administration has renewed U.S. political and economic interest in Latin America, including the founding of the Shield of the Americas, a multinational military and political coalition. Also, Smithsonian Secretary Lonnie Bunch III will retire at the end of this year. President Donald Trump has argued that the Smithsonian Institution, which operates dozens of museums and research centers, is too left-leaning. In July, the administration issued a report accusing the National Museum of American History of extreme political activism. That report drew broad criticism from historians. Mr. Bunch, who served as the Smithsonian's first Black secretary and founding director of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, has sought to defend the institution's traditional independence. He said in interviews with the New York Times and the Washington Post that government pressure played no role in his decision to retire. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The success of the far-right Alternative for Germany in state elections in Saxony-Anhalt has led to disbelief in a country that has tried to avoid any repetition of its extremist past. Germans are now asking whether the party is a threat to democracy or if, after its electoral success, other parties should work with it. Mark Sappenfield reports from Magdeburg, Germany for The Monitor. A bipartisan housing bill that became law in June could be part of the answer to America's housing affordability crisis. But it's not expected to have much of an effect over the next few years. In the meantime, others are trying ways to help hopeful homebuyers find a way into the market. Scott Baldoff and Melanie Stetson Freeman report from Rome, New York for The Monitor. Despite government investment and an influx of ideologically motivated newcomers, Kiryat Shmona, Israel's capital of the north, is struggling to recover financially and demographically. Its mayor warns that the city on Lebanon's border is on the verge of collapse. Dina Kraft reports from Kiryat Shmona, Israel for The Monitor. Traditionally, cold weather places like Massachusetts didn't have to worry much about having too many 90-degree days. But as temperatures keep warming, those places now must work to mitigate the effects of extreme heat. Good Luck Ajay reports from Boston for The Monitor. Many American neighborhoods carry the history of the people who built them and helped them flourish. When time erodes the bonds that define a place, new energy can help a place like the Barrio in Amarillo, Texas, renew itself. Harry Brunius reports from Amarillo, Texas for The Monitor. Now commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on remapping fresh worldviews. The term geopolitics, frequently used in discussing global diplomacy and trade relations today, was coined only about 125 years ago. But the concept has been around far, far longer, as evident in the practice of cartography or mapmaking since ancient times. One of the earliest known world maps, created by the Babylonians in 600 BCE, placed Babylonia at the center. Since then, seafaring and colonizing nations in particular have done much the same, centering their locations or adjusting sizes to project global reach and relevance. A map is never neutral, according to Robert Doucet, foreign minister of the small African nation of Togo. It shapes perceptions, influences how the place of peoples and continents in the world is understood, he said at a United Nations briefing last week. The UN marked a new step in global efforts to rebalance public perceptions and geographic realities as 164 countries voted for a Correct the Map resolution on September 4th. The United States cast the lone vote against what it dubbed a radical ideological project. Six countries abstained, citing concerns over disputed areas of Ukraine and Eastern Europe. The UN resolution recommending use of the Equal Earth Projection Map carries symbolic rather than legal weight. It cannot and does not require members to adopt this map, but it highlights the far-reaching implications of viewing and recognizing sovereign nations and neighbors in new ways. Small and medium-sized powers, from Europe to Asia to Latin America, are concerned about being squeezed in the rough-and-tumble geopolitics among China, Russia, and the U.S. In this context, their desire to be respected as relevant players in the global order is more than a plea to be seen. With many African and South American countries holding large reserves of critical minerals, the UN vote on a new map is a reminder of their key role in world trade and economic growth. Changing the map obviously doesn't change the world, but correcting a representation that distorts it is already an act of truth, France's Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot said on the social platform X after the vote. Since the late 1500s, the Mercator map has been one of the most common, used by European navigators as they expanded trade and established colonies across the globe. For directional accuracy, its use of straight rather than curved lines of longitude make landmasses closer to the poles appear much larger than those near the equator. Thus, the anomaly of Greenland appearing larger than Africa, although it is only 1/14 the continent's size, or Mexico, which is larger than Alaska in area, appearing smaller. But as the U.S. Geological Survey explains, every flat map misrepresents the surface of the Earth in some way. That's because it can show only one or more, but never all, elements of direction, distance, area, and shape. In many respects, it is the mental maps that individuals and nations have developed over generations that might matter more, according to analysts such as German professor Karl Schlogel. During a speech at the Brookings Institution in Washington earlier this year, he underscored how Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine radically altered Europe's mental map. A nation long considered more Russian than European, more Eastern than Western, suddenly became an integral part and symbol of Western Europe and its democratic ideals. Military and trade wars can shatter into fragments generational views or mental maps, Dr. Schlogel said. But such situations can also offer points of departure for a new and fresh interpretation, a great opportunity to rethink our analytical frameworks, he pointed out. The UN's vote on a new map offers a much less disruptive opportunity to rethink worldviews. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how when our thought is filled with the pure reality of God's allness, we see the falsity of anything unlike God, and healing comes naturally. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.